Chapter 4, Unexpected Company on the Slippery Slope. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Matthew 15:14b. Influencers on my journey. When I was growing up, and most notably in middle school and high school, I don't remember my pastor or youth leaders ever talking about the sanctity of human life. I would like to think that the Roe v. Wade case that legalized abortion on January 22, 1973 in the United States was big news. But it passed without anything being said about it in my church. Of course, I was 12 years old and in the 7th grade at the time, but I remember nothing about it. It was squeezed in between January 20, when President Richard Nixon was sworn into his second term, and January 23, when Nixon announced the peace accord in Vietnam. Then, the U.S. involvement in the war ended on January 27, 1973. 2 months later, the Watergate scandal was revealed. All the while, legalized abortion silently invaded the nation and built strongholds in our churches that have yet to be broken. I remember the war coming to an end and all the hoopla over the military returning home. There was plenty about that in the news, including the despicably hateful treatment of those who served. It was still early in the decade following the notorious 60s, where free sex, drugs, and rock and roll ruled. I remember this was a serious concern of the church. Christian parents and old church ladies were greatly disturbed about boys with long hair, which obviously proved they were smoking pot. The devil's music, as the worried adults called it, had their attention while their grandchildren's lives began to be secretly snuffed out. I imagine there had to be some church leaders, probably mostly in the Catholic Church, who immediately recognized the sinister agenda behind Roe v. Wade. But there was no major uproar about it that made any difference whatsoever. Abortion was now legal in all 50 states, and if something is legal, then it must be okay. Since the church didn't say otherwise, Christians were left to their own imaginations and devices and saw no need to voice concern over it. Abortion was simply a new option to the dilemma of unplanned pregnancy. Social media didn't exist in the 70s, and besides the evening news on TV, radio news, magazines, and newspapers, communication about current and personal events consisted of letters written and mailed through the postal service. There were no cell phones, and only local calls were included free with telephone service. Long-distance calls were charged by the minute, and we didn't know in California what someone in Ohio thought about politics or current events, much less saw pictures of what they ate for dinner. I managed to make it all the way through high school not knowing the slightest thing about abortion. Perhaps my pastors and Sunday school teachers didn't know the first things about it either. Conceivably, some of them knew about it but figured it was the world's problem, not an issue in the church, so not worth mentioning. It was like the whole thing just snuck up on the church while we were sleeping. It seemed to sneak up on families also. Abortion was not a topic our family ever discussed. In my circle of Christian friends, it wasn't even on our radar. The subject of sex was discussed at church and in our family occasionally, and it was made clear that sex outside of marriage was a sin. It was obvious to our youth leaders and parents that we would be tempted with it because we were told that blessings awaited us in saving it for marriage. I don't think I ever thought of sex in terms of something God designed, but mostly just as something I should never, ever do until after my wedding. My hormones had other ideas. Occasionally, my friends would talk about it and how far we would be willing to go or had gone. It was as though we could experiment in any way and not cross over into sin as long as we didn't have intercourse. Anything short of that, we might feel guilty, but we could still call ourselves virgins. Looking back, two things seem blatantly missing. Any acknowledgement that some of us might fail at the virginity thing, and any instruction for when we did fail. No adult in church or family ever suggested to us as teens that we might fail at this directive, as humans tend to sin. We were expected to be good boys and girls who don't think or do immoral things. I don't think it crossed the minds of our youth leaders or parents to discuss the fact that some of us, perhaps many of us, would disobey what we had been taught. It wasn't a matter of choice, but an expectation. I was not told that I could choose to have sex outside of marriage, but here are the consequences. For a choice to be valid, there must be more than one option. Reality check. Some teenagers and adults do not obey. I made my choice completely unaware of the dangers ahead. By the time I found myself pregnant in 1980, abortion was a valid option because it was legal and available. The first time a Christian adult ever mentioned the word in my presence was the church counselor who told me I couldn't do that because it was murder. No explanation why, and nothing but condemnation before being sent on my way with no earthly idea what to do. By that time, the mention of it was too late. Realistically, every influential adult in our lives either knew or knew of someone who had become pregnant outside marriage. In those days, when this happened, it was kept quiet, and often the girl was sent away for the noticeable remaining pregnancy and the child secretly placed for adoption. Those decisions were made amid a serious life crisis and not a moment before. The girl then returned, and life went on while everyone pretended it never happened. The parents and church leaders, if they knew, were relieved that major embarrassment was avoided. The young mothers were not given much choice in the matter and were not encouraged to talk about their loss because the shame was so much bigger. The young fathers were virtually ignored. Just as people made rash decisions in crisis to secretly relinquish their babies for adoption, I made a rash decision in my crises to abort my babies. Parents, youth pastors, and singles pastors wouldn't dare broach the subject of unwed pregnancy with helpful information just in case it happened. If they did that, well, it would seem like giving us permission to engage in sex outside marriage. I imagine that, because few Christians knew anything significant about abortion, Christian pregnant girls began to be taken for abortions shortly after it was legalized. I know of some who were taken before it was legal. Churches did not teach the value of human life in the womb, because pastors didn't realize it was necessary. So abortion was chosen in great ignorance. When Catholics and people on the Protestant fringe formed Right to Life groups, it still didn't catch on with church leaders as a significant issue to address from the pulpit. After all, it was a political issue that didn't apply to good Christians. Certainly no one in our church. Though the church counselor is not responsible for my choice to abort, the way she spoke to me without loving me as a person played a role. She was more concerned about my sin that got me into trouble than she seemed to care about truly helping me. That played a role. My lack of education on fetal development played a role. My lack of understanding of abortion and how much it hurts everyone involved played a role. I never heard anyone's story about their abortion experience, their loss, their regret, the consequences they faced in life. This too played a role. other than that one horrible word, murder, spoken in my time of crisis, the church was utterly silent about abortion. Silence is a role. Silence about all these things, when there is no crisis, plays a momentous role of influence when there is a crisis. How was I to know these things on my own? I was left with an impossible choice. I feel that the church, my pastors, youth leaders, singles leaders, counselor, and my parents unknowingly and silently accompanied me to my abortion appointments. No one had the foresight to give me any timely life-saving information. They all unknowingly participated in my abortions. I know that sounds like condemnation at its worst. I don't mean it that way, because I know all those people were almost as ignorant as I was about the whole thing.